Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. I'm sure if you're a sports fan, you remember the name Jamarcus Russell, right? Jamarcus Russell was a real solid quarterback at LSU, but he turned out to be one of, if not the biggest bust in the history of the National Football League. The Oakland Raiders selected him high.
Bigger than Ryan Leaf?
I think right next to Ryan Leaf. Only because Leaf went second overall, and a lot of people thought he was going to go number one overall over ahead of Peyton Manning.
Right.
But he didn't. And there were half the teams that were drafting that day said they would have taken, half the teams said they would have taken Ryan Leaf over Peyton Manning.
I got one more. Bigger than Todd Marinovich?
See, yeah, because at least with Marinovich, you kind of knew there was a chance. That poor guy, you just want him to stay out of jail
right at
this point. But Jamarcus Russell was, again, a special player. He had talent here at LSU. But once he got drafted into the NFL by the Raiders, and once they paid him the millions, he just stopped caring. He did not give a crap. And something new has just come out about him. Last week, former Raiders offensive lineman David Deal said that some of the Raiders coaches used to give Jamarcus Russell blank tapes to determine if he was studying film. And they'd give him the blank tapes.
The old switcheroo.
Yeah, they'd give him the blank tapes, and then the next day they'd see him and say, hey, did you study that film? And he'd say, oh, yeah, I studied it.
Right.
And they knew he wasn't doing anything. Oops. because the tapes were blank.
Right.
Deal noted that Jamarcus Russell would come into the Raiders facilities the day after receiving the tapes, saying he watched the blitz packages. Can you imagine if you're sitting there and that's the guy you picked? You know he was handed a empty blank tape.
Right.
And he said that he watched it and he understands the blitz packages and all the money that you're paying him and all of the other guys you could have picked instead of him.
And he's making more money than the coaches involved combined.
Absolutely.
At least. Well, how many times in grade school did the teacher come over and you're holding your book up and the teacher pulls the book away and you've got an Archie comic book? That's similar.
Here's the difference. In grade school, I wasn't being paid anything.
Oh.
I mean, who would have thought of that? You know, you know the guy had great physical attributes. He had great physical ability. But not only, he didn't even want to try.
He didn't even have the gumption. Did they still use gumption anymore? He didn't have the gumption, didn't have the motive. He couldn't even put the tape in to see that it was blank.
Yeah.
Because that could have been funny. He could have carried on a conversation. Oh, yeah, at the 12-minute mark, I hope to use that. Come off the opposite foot and do that and see if that, you know, just go on and on and on. But he didn't even put the blank thing in.
That's the other thing. He could have at least made an effort to watch the tape. And he didn't even make the effort to physically pick up the tape that the coaches gave him.
Right.
Walk over to his VCR or whatever unit he was using to play the tape and pop it in the machine and push play. He didn't even do that. He got paid millions of dollars, and he wasn't dedicated to being an NFL quarterback. He had 18 touchdowns and 23 interceptions in his 31-game history in the NFL. And it turned him into one of the biggest draft busts in NFL history. But I don't think quite as big as Ryan Leaf.
Hmm. Well, one would hope that Jamarcus Russell saved his money.
I don't think he did. And here's the guys that went right behind him in that draft. Calvin Johnson, the great wide receiver who was with the Houston Texans all of those years. Joe Thomas, the great offensive lineman who was with the Cleveland Browns for all of those years. Those were two of the guys. And I think both of those guys are going to be NFL Hall of Famers. And they went right next to Jamarcus Russell. That's why, you know, it's so important who these teams pick. I mean, if you pick the wrong guy, when you're drafting in the top, you know, 5-10 players, if you pick the wrong guy, it could set your team back 3-4 years, 5 years, if you pick the wrong guy. And
the good news is if you pick the wrong guy, you won't be there, most likely, to see him not develop, because they'll get rid of you before the bad player you selected.
Yeah, and people liked him here.
I mean, look at the mastermind that was the call to shots to get Peyton Manning, Bill Polian, and he was eventually shown the door. I mean, it's cyclical. You're eventually going to run afoul of your organization.
Wow, I just hearing that story last week about, because look, we all knew he didn't make it. We all knew he was a huge bust. But when a guy on his team says the coaches gave him tapes to watch the blitz packages and the coaches purposely gave him blank tapes to see what he would do when he came in the next day saying that he studied. They knew it was Screwsville right there. They knew they had the screws.
He could have at least put cartoons on them or something and handed them back and said, yeah, thanks a lot.
You know, I wonder what he's doing now. I wonder if he's back in this neck of the woods or if he's still living out there in Northern California. But, I mean, Jamarcus Russell, I'm going to go see.
Well, leave your account open again, and I'll friend him for you on Facebook.
Oh, thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
It's Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show, brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans, and Lamarck Ford. I just put up a video on the Bayou Facebook page a couple of days ago. A 14-year-old student, this was from a high school, or this was from some school, a 14-year-old student was told to leave the class. Not only didn't he leave the class, he called his teacher the N-word, and he kept using the N-word, and he was disrespecting his teacher. His teacher is black. And the teacher just started pummeling him. I mean pummeling him. And there are people out in that school district who they're split. Some of the people say the teacher's got to go because you could never hit a student. Other parents are saying, well, maybe suspend the guy, but he's a good teacher. He's got a great reputation. He shouldn't have been talked to like that.
He threw it all away. I don't care if he's a saint. He threw it all away. 100 teachers could call this radio show, and I bet you to a man and a woman, they'd say he threw it all away.
You can't hit the kid.
Can't hit a kid.
Mm.
Can't hit a kid. It's almost like the Hippocratic Oath with a doctor. First, do no harm. First, don't hit the kids. Duh.
Kid wouldn't leave the class. The kid was ruining it for all the other kids in class that were trying to learn. And this teacher said, get out of the class. The kid wouldn't leave. Then he started calling the teacher the N-word.
Well,
I'll be honest with you, Brewster.
Then pretty soon it doesn't. The brew here doesn't get stronger. It gets more diluted. And by that, I mean pretty soon this teacher hits this kid because this kid won't stop calling the teacher the N-word and won't leave the class.
What's the next reason if a teacher hits
exactly
a kid? Yeah, yeah. I totally understand.
Go back to my day. A kid brings a squirt gun. Okay, teacher beats kid for bringing a squirt gun.
No, I understand what you're saying. But in my opinion, and this is, look, that's, we all can have opinions. That's what's great about living in this country.
Well,
the kid got exactly what he deserved.
I didn't say he didn't, but can't hit a kid.
Go check out that video on our Facebook page, Bayou 957.
I was just curious to see where that happened, but it's one of those.
I think it's California.
Okay.
If I'm not mistaken, I think it's California because I saw it on the news last night. Hey, if you're going to walk around, you know, calling people names like that, if you can't back it up, I don't care if it's a teacher or somebody in the parking lot.
Yeah.
How many lessons in life did you learn at age 14? I learned a few.
Can't hit the kids.
Oh, I know. I'm with you on that. You can't hit the kids, but at the same time, in my opinion, this kid got exactly what he deserved. So happy election day. Today's the midterm elections. Locally, I'll tell you about a couple of issues that people are voting on. Nationally, obviously, the big story is if the Republicans can retain both the United States House of Representatives and the United States Senate, or, as many polling experts say, the Republicans are going to lose the United States House of Representatives, the Congress. They're going to lose that to the Democrats, and the Republicans are going to hold on to the United States Senate. That's what all polling people say. But then again, remember what the polling people said 2 years ago. They all had Hillary Clinton beating Donald Trump the day before, the night before, the day of, by at least 5 points. So, most people think that this is the country and this is their referendum 2 years into Donald Trump's presidency. This is, they're sending a message to Donald Trump today.
Right.
If they vote blue Democrat, they're not very happy with Trump. If they vote red, they are happy with him. And again, you look at the economy, you look at this country, it's doing very well. Very, very well. Unemployment, historic lows. For everybody, not just whitey, but for black people and Hispanic people, women, unemployment historic low, all over the country. You can get jobs, and what's great about that is if you're not happy with the job you got, you can go get another job.
I may do that. I may go get another job.
Hey, Bruce, you say it ain't so.
Well, I mean an additional job.
Oh, okay. You still show up here.
Yeah.
Okay. I thought you were telling me something here on the show that I didn't know.
Because I can get by with 2 hours sleep. If I can get by with 4 hours sleep a night, I can get by with two. But just, by all means, get out there and vote.
Votes. It doesn't matter who. Votes. It's what you gotta do. Votes. You gotta get out there and vote.
Yeah.
When I was younger, so much younger than today,
I didn't think so.
I never cast a vote or cared about it anyway.
All right, thank you.
And you know how much of the media, many of the people working in the United States media are political lefties. They are Democrats. And that's why over the last couple of weeks, maybe you've noticed, maybe you haven't, but they're telling people to do whatever it takes. Get out and vote. Vote, 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 vote. That's what they're telling. As a matter of fact, I've seen places around the country that say, if you need a ride to the polls, we'll give you a ride. If you need something to eat, if you need lunch. You know, but we'll have buses. We have different ways of you to get to the polls. And I'm thinking to myself, if you can't get to the poll to vote on your own, if you don't have at least one friend that can give you a lift, if you can't take a taxi cab or an Uber or a Lyft, if you can't get to the voting poll, in that myriad of ways, should you be picking the leaders of our country? That's a question that I have. And in my opinion, I'm not so sure.
Well, the founding fathers, they believed so.
You know, and so many people want to lower the voting age. They want to lower it to maybe 16. Thinking to myself, no.
Like, raise it to 25.
Yeah, people shouldn't. Look, people should vote when it affects them. And I know some people would say, well, you know, the election, Trump, it affects 16-year-olds. But when people start feeling it on their own, when people leave their parents' house and they have to go find a place to live, what it costs to find a place to live, people buy a house, property taxes, things like that. That's the stuff that affects people. That's when people really need to start voting. I mean, if they're younger and you're into it, but it doesn't really affect 16, 17. You're in high school. You should be having fun.
What's the adage, you know, vote your pocketbook? And at 18, you're not really, even maybe at 20 or 21, you're not really voting your pocketbook.
Because nobody has any money at that age.
Exactly. You've made a great point. I think it's I don't know how you quantify that into changing voter laws, but you think you should be a homeowner, or at least some degree of a tax burden that you need to be a part of to feel part of that system.
It used to be that way. You had to own land to vote. You had to own land to vote. Now, I don't feel like that should be how it is today, because so many people in this country don't vote or don't own land. But in my opinion, you should at least be out of your parents' house. Whether you own it on your own or whether you're paying rent, you should at least be out of your parents' house to be able to vote. Because then the real world problems are affecting you.
Right.
But I don't think it should be owning property anymore.
But I don't know how you put all that into changing voter laws, because it wouldn't get approved.
Well, here in Louisiana, there's a couple of interesting things. There's nothing really like exciting or glamorous. We got a couple of our congressmen are running. In the first congressional district, Steve Scalise, I don't know if you've seen any of his commercials. He's the House Majority Whip. He was almost killed. He was shot on a baseball field while he was practicing for the big Republican versus Democrat baseball game last year. He should win fairly easily. And the only congressman that's going to win easier than him here in Louisiana will be my congressman, because I live in New Orleans. The guy who's running in the second congressional district, Cedric Richmond.
Friend of the show.
No.
Noel, no.
He's going to win easily. It won't even be close. And then there's another congressman from across the state that doesn't really affect me, although it affects the country. And then they have another congressman, 5th and 6th congressional district. So there's two more congressional races. We got two local ones around New Orleans and then two a long way away in the state. And then we also today, you're voting on the Secretary of State. Remember our last Secretary of State had to resign in embarrassment, Tom Shedler. Because in the hashtag MeToo movement, Shedler got caught up in that with being inappropriate with women. So I noticed around here, there's that woman running, Julie Stokes. She survived breast cancer. I think she lives in Kenner, if I'm not mistaken, either Kenner or Metairie. But she's running. She's a Republican. She's running against a tough Republican who I've seen his television commercials everywhere, Kyle Ardoin. That's going to be tough for Julie Stokes. But that's for Secretary of State. Get out there and vote for that. And there are always amendments, questions, constitutional amendments. I've got a couple of them for you here that if you're going to vote today. Amendment 1, to prohibit convicted felons from seeking or holding public office or appointment within 5 years of completion of their sentence, unless they are pardoned. So you're voting, should felons have to wait 5 years to vote once they get out? How do you feel about that? 5 years. Didn't they already do their time while they were a felon? You got to put another 5 years on top of that? How many felons do you want voting? Amendment number 2. This one is big. To require a unanimous jury verdict in all non-capital felony cases for offenses committed on or after January 1st, 2019. We talked about this. We're only one of two states. Oregon is the other state where you don't need a unanimous jury verdict. I believe you only need 10 out of the 12. If you get 10 out of the 12 jurors that say yay or nay, then that's good. See, I don't like that. I don't want to be one of only two out of 50 states that doesn't have the full unanimous jury. I think you should vote for a unanimous jury. We'll talk more about some of these amendments and other things coming up. On Election Day here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. According to this new Washington Post ABC News poll on this midterm election day, 65% of Americans think the economy is strong. The other 35% admit they haven't really been paying attention. I'm glad we're getting some honesty out of these people. All right, coming up on the show, a scary situation yesterday at East Jefferson High School in Metairie. A kid got arrested, and we'll tell you what happened here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. Yesterday, pretty scary over at East Jefferson High School in Metairie. A 17-year-old student got arrested for terrorizing the parents of about 150 students at East Jefferson High School in Metairie, pulled them out of school. I'm sorry, this was Friday morning. After word spread of a threat of violence circulating on social media, the 17-year-old kid, Vander Cantu of St. Rose, he ended up being arrested and booked with terrorizing. Cantu shared a photo on Snapchat of another student holding a gun at a local gun show. Now, that's fine. Here's what got him in trouble. He added a caption that read, "Don't come to school tomorrow," unquote, at the bottom of the photo before sharing it on his own Snapchat account last week.
But see, here's the thing that kind of takes the steam out of it a little bit. You know, everything you said is factual, but when you have the bunny ears and the great big eyes on Snapchat with the filters, I'd kind of dilutes it a little, don't you think?
Yeah, what is that? And why do people like those filters?
Oh,
it makes
know.
You look like a cat or makes you look like a bunny, like you said.
Yes, you can do that. You can have great big giant eyes. You can be like an alien. You can, number one, I don't understand how quickly it can do that. I played around with it a little bit. Mrs. Brewster and I, in fact, were actually playing around with, we're literally sitting 2 feet apart and we're on the phone communicating with each other via Snapchat.
And it does something else. It doesn't make you just look like the animals, but it makes you look better. It clears up your skin, because I've seen pictures of people on Snapchat, and then you see them in real life.
And it's like,
yeah, it's like, wait a minute. You don't look anything like that. I'm not just talking about the bunny.
Right.
You don't look anything like that cat or that bunny or that human being.
Right.
Who's in that picture.
You been on Match.com again?
But this 17-year-old kid got arrested. Vander Cantu, again, for sharing a picture of another student holding a gun at a local gun show, but then underneath it, there was a caption that said, "Don't come to school tomorrow," and that was a big issue last week on the campus of East Jefferson High School in Metairie, and this kid ended up getting himself arrested, the 17-year-old Vander Cantu. You can't be doing stuff like that. You know, you got a kid in this school. That's something that you absolutely should worry about when you see something like that, a post like that,
right,
going around on social media.
And as far as the faculty and administration, they've got to take it with the utmost seriousness. I mean, even if it is, and I don't know what the situation here was. I don't know if it was just shenanigans or hijinks. Sounds a little more serious than that based on the content. I don't know. But when you're an educator, you're in administration, boy, it never ends. You have to take everything seriously. You have to take everything as if your school is the school and today is the day.
Last Thursday, there was a day off at East Jefferson High School. Anyways, the teachers had something to do. But on Friday, about 150 parents pulled their kids out of school. The school system sent a robocall to all East Jefferson High School parents, letting them know officials were aware of the photo and the caption underneath the photo that was making the rounds on social media, and authorities had been notified. East Jefferson High School staffers still, with all of that, fielded hundreds of phone calls from concerned parents late last week. It's something they, now this 17-year-old, this is a felony. This is a felony booked Friday morning, charged with terrorizing, a felony punishable by a maximum sentence of 15 years in prison and a $15,000 fine. They asked the 17-year-old, Vander Cantu, why he did this. All he said is he thought it was funny.
Well, here's the difference. It's no less funny. Just don't hit send.
Yeah, and look, I know comedy is different for people. Comedy is subjective,
right?
But how is putting a photo of a youngster holding a gun at a local gun show, and then underneath that photo saying
using another student's photo without permission, number one,
and then underneath that photo writing a caption that says "Don't go to school tomorrow."
Right.
Well, I guess if you're 17, maybe you and I
right. You and I laugh. Yeah.
Yeah.
You and I laughed at things. Well, we laugh at things now that we also laughed at when we were 17. But damn it, when you hit send, you have crossed through that's like the magic mirror, and you can't change it. It's out there forever. And look at the disruption it causes.
Oh, yeah.
How many thousands of robocalls were sent out?
Well, especially
scaring parents half to death.
Especially as we sit here in the year 2018, where at least once a month or so, maybe even more, you look up on television, right, and you see what's going on around the country,
right,
with school shootings and such.
And that's my point. That's the fear. I mean, we don't have children, but I can't imagine sending them off to school and coming here and trying to yuck it up like we do in the morning and be worried that something like this that a 17-year-old thinks is funny, and I'm sitting here, or Mrs. Brewster is sitting here, or you're sitting
freaking out
at work worrying about your Johnny or Susie.
Yeah, sending your kid to school with something like this,
because
a picture like that going around social media.
That's the question. And is it my school, and is today the day?
No. Anyways, hopefully someone grabs that kid and says, "Dude, look, I'll tell you what. You want a funny joke to send on social media? Call the show, or let's go sit down somewhere. I'll tell you a funny joke to send on social media. But putting up a picture of a student holding a gun at a local gun show, and then the caption underneath it saying, "Don't go to school tomorrow." Not funny.
Not real funny.
Not funny. The John Osterlin Morning Show, brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans and Lamarck Ford, here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. Hey, before I get to this Facebook thing, I wanted to mention, did you see who the Saints are working out today? They're working out former Dallas Cowboy Pro Bowl wide receiver Dez Bryant.
Really?
They're working him out, and they're working out former Pro Bowl wide receiver Brandon Marshall, among a couple. I don't think Ted Ginn's coming back. And I know they got the rookie, Traquan. He's playing all right. But I guess they're looking for another receiver. And so they've got a couple of former big-name NFL wide receivers coming to Metairie today to go work out. Hmm. Yeah, Dez Bryant used to be really good, but the last couple of years he really lost. They say when you lose some of your speed, when you get old in sports, you lost a step. He's lost about two steps, old Dez Bryant.
Did I see the Cowboys lost last night?
Yeah. Dude, they're a bad organization.
Not good.
Not good. I mean, Jerry Jones, he destroyed the team. And you always wonder, if he never fired Jimmy Johnson, how many Super Bowls they would have won. You know, they won three. I know they won one with Barry Switzer after they fired, right after they fired Jimmy Johnson. But if Jerry Jones's ego wasn't what it was, if he could have been more like Tom Benson, more like Robert Kraft in New England, I hired the guy, let me just sit back and enjoy him win. The Cowboys might have won 7 or 8 titles. Because, again, they won 3.
We'll never know.
Yeah, but they're just, not a good organization. And Jerry Jones is the main reason why. We'll see what happens when the Saints work these guys out today. Wouldn't that be something? Seeing Dez Bryant run around in the black and gold with a fleur-de-lis on his head? That'd be something. So on this election day, Facebook...
See what you did? You triggered...
Oh, I'm not reading one of my Facebook friends' sad posts.
It doesn't matter, though. You triggered the music.
I mean, we could go do that, too. But I wanted to tell you why Facebook is in the news today on this election day.
I like the music. All right, we'll save that for another.
Facebook has identified and they've blocked dozens of flagged accounts before midterm elections. This is all because of what happened 2 years ago on Facebook, when they realized there was a ton of accounts that basically were political advertisements telling you who they thought you should vote for, or who they thought you shouldn't vote for. And there are people, some people still believe that Donald Trump became president because of the phony political Facebook ads. That's not the reason why he won.
Yeah, I'm not. I don't subscribe to that thinking.
So Facebook has taken a lot of heat in the last couple of years because of the 2016 election and a lot of the election crap that turned out to be phony crap on the Facebook page there. So Facebook yesterday, last night, said it identified at least 30 accounts on Facebook and 85 accounts on Instagram, which they own, and those accounts have been flagged by law enforcement as having possible ties to foreign entities. So these aren't just fake political, fake news, fake whatever political ads on Facebook. They got law enforcement involved in this. Facebook said in a statement that it became aware of accounts that may be engaged in coordinated inauthentic behavior over the weekend. The accounts were blocked and a further investigation is now underway. They released a statement, quote, almost all the Facebook pages associated with these accounts appear to be in the French or Russian languages, while the Instagram accounts seem to have mostly been in English. Some were focused on celebrities, others political debate. And so Facebook is going out of their way to rid their social media site and Instagram as well, which they own, of the fake stuff. You especially start seeing stuff that's going after the American election and it's written in Russian and it's written in French. You got to be careful for that. Coming up next, we look at today in history. Why Today Doesn't Suck is what we call it. Suck is next on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show, brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans and Lamarck Ford. Let's look at today in history. And on this show, we call the segment...
We call it this, but it's not. I'm not ready yet. Let's see. Yeah, we call it.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
You have a rough night last night.
Having a rough morning. It was the night was okay. It's just a bit of a rough morning.
Yeah, last night was great. It was fantastic. It's just this morning that stinks.
It's just there's so much. All of a sudden, so much paperwork involved in this show.
I thought we were trying as not only as a show, but as a country to move away.
From paper.
Yeah. November 6th.
Not working.
It was today in 1995.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
Art Modell announces the Cleveland Browns are moving to Baltimore. And, you know, it wasn't like they were great before 1995, but they've been awful since they came back a few years later when they got the next version of the Cleveland Browns. They've been horrible, but it was today in 1995, the owner of the Cleveland Browns announced that he is moving his team from Cleveland to Baltimore. Art Modell bought the team way back 35 years earlier in 1960. And he moved them because he couldn't get a stadium. And much like what's going on now with the San Diego Chargers playing in Los Angeles, that's the same reason why they moved there. Because you got multimillionaire owners that want the people, the taxpayers, the people that go to work every day to help pay for their palaces, for their brand new stadiums. That's called corporate welfare. So that stinks. November 6th. Hey, well, today is midterm election day, and today's the day that Abraham Lincoln was elected president. All the way back in 1860.
Why today doesn't suck.
Abraham Lincoln elected the 16th president of the United States over a deeply divided Democratic Party, becoming the first Republican to win the presidency. Did you know that? And, you know, people say we have issues now, that the country's divided more than ever. Well, look at what Lincoln was dealing with. He was dealing with the Civil War. He had half the country that was.
And his wife was nuts. She was mad as a hatter.
November 6th. Hey, today's the day the United Nations condemned apartheid. Today in 1962, the United Nations General Assembly adopts a resolution condemning South Africa's racist apartheid policies and calling on all its members to end economic and military relations with the country. And if you see what's going on now in South Africa, you see some of the video coming out of there. It's not a good time to be white over in South Africa.
Well, it's not a good time to be white and male here in America. Necessarily. It was on this date, November 6th, 1965.
Why today doesn't suck.
The Grateful Dead and Jefferson Airplane performed at the opening of the Fillmore West in San Francisco.
Yeah, the Fillmore West, really cool. He opened the Fillmore East after that. And down here,
Bill Graham.
And down here, we had something called
The Warehouse
that they nicknamed the Fillmore South.
5 years later, this is just too good. November 6th, 1970.
Why today doesn't suck.
Aerosmith performed their first concert at, I know you know the city, but have you ever heard of Nipmuc Regional High School in Minden, Massachusetts?
That's where they played. I've never heard of Nipmuc, and I lived up there for a bunch of years.
Their first show. Aerosmith. It was on this date, November 6, 1976. Two things happened.
Why today doesn't suck.
Heart peaked at number 9 on the Billboard Hot 100 singles chart with Magic Man and friend of the show, Steve Miller.
Why today doesn't suck.
Also 1976, reaches number 1 on the Billboard Hot 100 singles chart for the second time with Rockin' Me. And finally in music news, November 6th, on this date, 1980.
Why today doesn't suck.
That is when Led Zeppelin meets with their manager, Peter Grant, on the Isle of Jersey to discuss their future in the wake of the death of drummer John Bonham a few months earlier. The group makes the decision to disband, and they would publicly announce this later on December 4th of that year, 1980.
And the Isle of Jersey, that's the one in the English Channel. That's not when New Jersey got flooded and some people were stuck for a little while.
Okay.
It happened over there.
All right.
November 6th, it was today in 1987.
Why today doesn't suck.
I always liked this movie. It debuted in theaters. Robert Downey Jr., not a lot of people knew who he was, starred in the movie Less Than Zero. And that movie ended up being a lot like Robert Downey's real life. That's how art imitated life. I always thought that was a good movie.
I don't believe I've seen that. We'll have to add that to the list.
And I always say, whether it's a song, Brewster, or whether it's a movie, it depends on when it came out in your life. how much it means to you and what you were going through, how old you were, that kind of thing.
Sure.
And, boy, that movie, my friends and I really, we enjoyed watching that movie.
Two things on the National Day calendar, November 6th, the National Saxophone Day. And also, November 6th is National Nachos Day. Who doesn't love... I like the power nachos just with everything. The kitchen sink nachos.
Mm.
Throw every possible thing in the refrigerator into a bowl with some tortilla chips, and there you have National Nachos Day.
That's a great invention, the old nachos.
Yes.
November 6th, it was today in 1982. A woman...
Why today doesn't suck?
A woman ices her husband with antifreeze. Shirley Allen is arrested for poisoning her husband, Lloyd Allen, with antifreeze.
That'll do it.
Yeah, and after witnessing Shirley Allen putting antifreeze in her husband's drink, the couple's daughter turned her into authorities. Isn't that something? She said, why is my mother doing this to my father?
That is, they say, as far as poisons go, that is, it takes about 4 days, and it is one of the most painful ways to go, because it just, antifreeze goes into your system, and it's not like Drano, and I'm not a doctor, but it's not like a, it's not like an acid that just starts to eat away immediately. It goes in and crystallizes basically your innards, and it's not good.
That's scary.
I don't think there's much you can do for it.
That's scary stuff.
Yes.
And
that is a segment that we call...
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
Hey, coming up on the show, someone bought a lotto ticket a couple of months ago in Metairie. They won $1.7 million.
Well, not yet, they haven't.
Well, but the ticket is a winner, but they only have until December to claim it. Are they waiting, or do they not know that they have it? We'll explain coming up here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. So over the last couple of weeks, we have mentioned how national lotteries like Powerball and the Mega Millions, they've been immense. I mean, over $1 billion in the Mega Millions case. I mean, a billion. It used to be winning $1 million was something. I mean, that's nothing compared to a billion. And we've talked about that. But I just saw this, and it makes you wonder if this person even knows. Over $1.7 million lotto ticket was sold in Metairie. It was sold on June 6th at the International Market on Barron Street in Metairie. The problem is no one has cashed it in yet. That ticket expires in less than a month. It expires on December 3rd. The ticket matched all six lotto numbers back on June 6th. 3, 7, 30, 31, 35, and 38. Local jackpot prizes must be claimed at the lottery headquarters in Baton Rouge. Now, this makes you wonder, is this person just holding on to it? All right, because they always tell you, you know, if you win a lot of money like that, you know, don't tell anybody right off the bat, because you're going to have people coming out of the woodwork, family members and friends, people they didn't even know saying that your family members or friends. You're going to be hearing from and seeing people that you haven't seen in years, and they're all going to have hardship cases. They're all going to say, yo, I'm really desperate. But I wonder if this person either is waiting until the end of his expiration time or her expiration time to go and turn in that ticket, or if this person just doesn't know. I mean, that's happened before.
Well,
they might have lost the ticket, or they don't know that they won.
Or you buy it and you stick it in your, it's down in the console of your vehicle. It's in the, a lady sticks it in her purse. It's an interesting thing. If you go to LouisianaLottery.com/unclaimed-prizes, as I'm looking at now, there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 unclaimed Mega Millions tickets, and it shows the tickets right here, how many days until they expire, what the winning numbers were, what the drawing date was.
And those probably weren't the grand prize, but they were probably runner-up prizes.
There's 1, 2, 3, 4 $10,000s and 2 $20,000s. On Powerball, there are 4 unclaimed tickets. And, of course, this is all it's all computerized. It's all fail-safe. I mean, they know immediately how many when a drawing is held, they know immediately how many winners are holding tickets, but how many actually won, I'm trying to say.
You know, when it comes to the Mega Millions, Brewster, I bet you there are so many $10,000 and $20,000 winners, because when it comes to Mega Millions, when people see the numbers drawn, they look at their ticket, and if they don't win, a lot of people probably just rip up their ticket right there. And they don't realize they could have a runner-up prize, $10,000 or $20,000.
There are 1, 2, 3, 4 remaining Powerballs, 3 for $50,000. There is 1 outstanding $1 million Powerball winning ticket. You have 106 days remaining, and I'll go ahead and tell you where that was. That was sold at the Ideal Mart on North Rampart Street here in New Orleans.
Do you know what the Louisiana Lottery does with the unclaimed tickets that go unclaimed? 10, 20, 30,000, whatever the case may be.
I do not.
Do they donate it to charity?
I don't think there's money there unless it's claimed. So it's prizes would be absorbed. I'm assuming prizes would be absorbed internally. They wouldn't. You see, you understand what I'm saying? There's no prize unless someone wins it. So an unclaimed ticket has no prize until it's claimed.
Boy, that's something. What a waste of money.
I would imagine it goes into... Well, there's nowhere for it to go because that hasn't... If it's not claimed, there's no prize. That's what I'm guessing.
Well, someone owns a ticket worth almost $1.8 million for the Louisiana Lottery for Lotto. They bought the ticket June 6th. The ticket expires December 3rd. It was sold in Metairie at the International Market on Barron Street. And again, this is $1,794,807. It would be a shame if the person who won that ticket didn't get to collect it. Maybe they're working so hard, trying to pay the bills, that they don't know what they did with the ticket. Hey, coming up next, it is midterm election day. And we'll go over a couple of the questions. They're called amendments on the local ballots here in Louisiana. And I want to get your take on how you feel about a couple of these questions that they're asking today on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show is brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans, and Lamarck Ford.
If I were to ask you how many cheeses could you name, how many could you name, say, in 30 seconds?
In 30 seconds?
Yeah.
10, maybe 12?
Okay. Coming up, we're going to, you know how they have the wacky in-game promotions at baseball, especially minor league baseball, football games, basketball games, hockey games, especially minor league hockey games. We're going to talk about one that they did in Milwaukee.
You said cheeses, right?
Yes, cheeses.
Okay, I want to make sure you got that straight.
Yeah.
Well, now I gotta go brush up on my...
Yes.
My cheeses. Hey, a video is going viral out of West Africa, out of a town called Gabon, West Africa. It's of a teacher smashing students' cell phones with a hammer. I guess he's upset because he can't get their attention.
I like it.
Yeah, and it's pretty wild. And the video's got a ton of views. And here's the teacher with the hammer just smashing the cell phones. He's got a decent excuse, because when his bosses said, "What are you doing?" He said he was teaching his class about Hillary Clinton. All those emails and such.
Mm-hmm.
Today is Election Day 2018. And here in Louisiana, it's not as sexy. And you know, in America, the midterms usually aren't as sexy as when we go vote for president. But that was 2 years ago, and that'll be 2 years from now. But we do have the midterms, and they're very important. And you know, on a national level, that the anti-Trumpers, the people that don't like Donald Trump, they, even though this country's doing great, the economy is thriving. Unemployment is at historic lows. Things are going really well. The people that don't like them don't like them. And what they're hoping is to turn, if not both, the United States House of Representatives and the United States Senate from Republican control to Democratic control. They're hoping to turn at least one of them, and that would be the United States House of Representatives. They want to flip it from Republican to Democrat, and we'll pay attention today and see what happens. The polls are saying that's going to happen, but remember what those polls said 2 years ago. I mean, I remember Hillary Clinton had a 5-point lead 2 days before the election, 1 day before the election, the day of the election, even the day after the election when Trump won. I saw a couple of polls that said Hillary Clinton had a 5-point lead. So I don't know what to believe there. Locally here in Louisiana, we've got four congressmen trying to hold on to their jobs. The biggest one, Steve Scalise, he's the majority whip. And he should have no problem retaining his congressional seat. That's the first district. Steve Scalise's district is the first congressional district here in Louisiana. The second congressional district here in New Orleans, my district, because I live in New Orleans, that won't be a battle either, as Cedric Richmond will win very easily. And there's a couple of other congressional races around the state of Louisiana, the 5th district and the 6th congressional district. But what's interesting this year on the ballots when you go in, oh, and they're also voting for Secretary of State to replace the embattled Tom Shedler, who had to embarrassingly leave his job early because he got caught up in the hashtag MeToo movement. There were a couple of different women that said he was inappropriate with them, the former Secretary of State. I mean, you don't think about that with Secretary of State, you know, maybe governor or mayor or, you know, president or something big. Really, the Secretary of State's getting handsy? Really, him? And over in Jefferson Parish, you got a bunch of school board people to vote on. And many of the districts over there in Jefferson Parish, if you obviously very important, the school board, it's something that's underrated. Today's the day where if you're in Jefferson Parish, you go vote for the school board members. But at this moment, I wanted to ask you how you felt about two of these amendment questions that are on today's ballot. Constitutional amendment questions. There's two big ones that, as far as I could tell. They have five or six questions, but they're to me, there's two that are really big that most people can relate to. Amendment question number one today on the ballot box in Louisiana: to prohibit convicted felons from seeking or holding public office or appointment within 5 years of completion of their sentence, unless they are pardoned. So do you think guys, gals who get out of prison should have to wait 5 years after they've done their time to either run, seek or hold public office or appointment? Do you think that they should have to wait 5 years? I mean, that's pretty big in New Orleans. I mean, two mayors ago, Ray Nagin, he's still in federal prison. I mean, not like anybody, shouldn't say anybody, but like a lot of people would vote for him. So you think if a convicted felon gets out of prison, they should have to wait 5 years before they seek public office? How do you feel about that, Brewster? Or do you think they already did their time? They're out now, let them?
I, other than Ray Nagin, when does it happen? I mean, what is the who sponsored this? Why is this necessary now? Why is it being asked now? Who's trying to
Well, maybe.
I don't understand. Is there more to this than what is?
Maybe not for a big race like congressman or mayor or something like that. But let's say something like school board or something like that.
No ex-con is going to get elected to any school board.
All right. So you don't think there's a need for this?
I don't think so. I mean, I haven't read up on it other than what you've just laid out for me. But that answer to that question is...
Well, if you go vote today, that's your Amendment 1. That's your Amendment 1 question.
Okay.
And here's your Amendment 2 question.
Now, I know where you're going with this one, and I think we're going to agree.
Yeah,
on this
is the one that I think is the most important.
Yeah.
To require a unanimous jury verdict in all non-capital felony cases, and that would start after January 1st of next year, 2019.
That is not what I thought you were going to
ask.
Well,
we've talked about this. We're only one of two states, Oregon being the other state, where you don't need a unanimous jury verdict. And the other 48 states in this country, if someone is on trial for something, and if there's only one holdout, if only 11 out of the 12 jurors say guilty, or only 10 out of the 12 jurors say guilty, that person who's on trial, they're not guilty, or there's a holdout or whatever the case may be, a hung jury, whatever the case may be. Here in Louisiana, and many people say that this is racist, here in Louisiana, it can be 10 or 11 people. It doesn't have to be all 12 jurors that vote guilty or not guilty. I want to know why we are only one of two states, us in Oregon, where you don't have to have a unanimous 12-person jury verdict to put someone away or to acquit them.
I do recall when we talked about this either a few months ago or a few weeks ago, whichever, that we had an answer to why it was.
Yeah.
And I don't remember,
what
the answer was.
I remember.
Okay.
Because Oregon, back when Oregon was becoming a state and becoming big, Oregon was a very racist place. And you couldn't be black and live in a lot of Oregon. They had specific places that they wanted you to live if you were a minority, that kind of thing. So Louisiana and Oregon are the only two states in America that doesn't require a unanimous 12-person jury verdict or a unanimous jury verdict, no matter how many people are on the jury. You can have most of the jury say he or she's guilty, he or she's not guilty, and they'll still... That's what would happen. And I think if you're voting today in Louisiana, you know, I'd never really tell you who I think you should vote for. Voting is whatever you feel is important. I mean, I could tell you who I like and what I like, but when it comes to Amendment 2 today, the questions in the Louisiana ballot boxes today, I think we need to vote to require a unanimous jury verdict. That's the way I feel. That's what juries are all about. It's not most of the jury. It's all of the jury. And let's take our name off of the list with only one other state, Oregon, in this country, that don't require a unanimous jury verdict. So I say
we're really depending on the electorate to go in and know what they're talking about, don't you?
Well, I think
most people just want to go in and click one button or another.
But should it not take a unanimous jury verdict to either send someone to prison or acquit them?
Yes,
we do agree on that.
I have spoken. When I'm world czar, that will be... I thought you were going to talk about fantasy sports betting. Isn't that coming
That's
up?
That's on there, too.
Parish by parish?
That's on there, too. Yeah, why can't we have fantasy sports betting?
When I'm world czar, we will.
They have those companies that... Well, you don't see the commercials like you used to because they'd be wasting their money here in Louisiana. What is it? FanDuel. Kings.
The other,
But you should. Why shouldn't we be allowed to play and wager on fantasy sports in this country?
And not only those entities
in the state,
but also at casinos as well.
Well, that's
when you can go across an hour from here, you can do it.
Well, that's going to be our elected officials that are going to do that when they go back to Baton Rouge at the beginning of 2019, because we should be able to go into Harris here in New Orleans and go into the sports book room and bet on the Saints if we want to. We should be able to do that. You know, why shouldn't we? And just think of the money, the revenue the state would get from that. All right. Coming up on the show, we'll tell you about a high school marching band in Georgia who is in all kinds of trouble. This is the second high school marching band in recent history that's been in trouble for doing something. We'll explain on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. In Lodi, New Jersey, a 32-year-old female teacher has been arrested for sending nude photos to a 13-year-old male student and fondling him. I feel sorry for the victim. He lives in New Jersey. Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show, brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans, and Lamarck Ford.
And now, even more, Osterlin Show, every afternoon, be listening with Kat at 4:50 for the Osterlin Rewind.
Cool. Hey, Brewster, yesterday you mentioned how some Lowe's home improvement stores are closing. That's the biggest challenger to Home Depot. And across the country, they're closing underperforming Lowe's stores.
Yeah, in the U.S. and Canada, they're going to close a total of 51 stores, and I believe it is, I believe the number is 22 in the United States.
Yeah, and from what I was reading, they do about 70% of the business that Home Depot does, and they would like it obviously to be more than that. But locally, here, over in New Orleans East, the Lowe's store on Reed Boulevard is one of the stores that is set to close. And that kind of stinks because that's where I used to go when we were doing some work during the day. And, mm-hmm. and if we needed to get a couple of workers to help us, they'd be hanging out in the parking lot.
Well, you can still find those at any other Lowe's or any other Home Depot. There are plenty of those guys looking for work.
Okay, so there's good. I've got options there. That's good to know. Because usually
generally related to shopping inside the store, not to hire workers outside the store.
And if that was the case, I would usually go to Home Depot. See, maybe that's the problem. More people were like that. Like if you needed to buy stuff in the store, I'd go to Home Depot. But if I needed some help with working on something with people outside the store, I would go to Lowe's. I should have.
You just need some help. Yeah. The store is set to be closed. All of these stores, the 20 in the United States, the 31 in Canada, including the store on Reed Boulevard in New Orleans East, the Lowe's, that is set to be closed before February 1st. So the clock is ticking.
That stinks. I mean, New Orleans East needs to be adding stores, not losing stores.
Well, but the marketplace will decide. If it's underperforming, there's not much you can do. It's not it's not a public service. It's not they can't sit there and just bleed revenue if no one's going there. Underperforming is exactly what it is.
Mm. I saw this story. Idaho elementary school teachers who dressed up as Mexicans and the border wall suspended. There were over a dozen elementary school teachers in Idaho. Not just teachers, but also school staff members. And they got themselves suspended because the group dressed up as Mexicans and President Donald Trump's Mexico-U.S. border wall for Halloween. These are elementary school teachers and people that work at that elementary school, staffers. They dressed up as Mexicans in a wall that doesn't exist yet. Middleton, Idaho. Middleton School District superintendent announced during they had to have a meeting on Saturday. You know it's serious when they call everybody in for a meeting on Saturday when you're dealing with school stuff. 14 employees of that school district's elementary school were put on paid administrative leave following the controversial costumes. A statement from the school said, quote, "This type of behavior has no place in education and certainly is not tolerated here at Middleton School District." So, I look at that costume. Now, again, remember, pretty much nothing offends me. I come from a place and a time where, you know, nothing offends me.
Well, you might as well just start referring to yourself as being from outer space, because when you say nothing offends me, you are putting yourself so far out there that we may not ever have to let you come back.
Does this offend you? That elementary school teacher.
I didn't get all of the details on that. I was in a another audio universe while you were going through that story. But on balance, teachers dressed up like.
And when I say Mexicans, they're wearing the ponchos, they have the big hats, and they have the mustaches.
They are
even the female teachers
feeding right into the stereotype, and then. Refresh me that there are others dressed up as sections of a wall.
Yeah, the border wall that doesn't exist yet.
And these are teachers.
Yes, and I know it's elementary school. I know the kids are young, but this could be looked at as an educational costume. You're learning about...
You're learning about falling down the wormhole of idiot stereotypes. Is that what you're saying? Yes, that is a great learning tool. Not to feed into... bigotry and hate by categorizing people in a costume that purports to sum up everything about them. And then to add insult to injury to throw a wall, a perceived wall, into the costume as well.
Well, you can teach the kids.
Teachers thought this would be funny and thought this would be a good idea and... thought that we would talk about it on the show.
Well,
they were right there.
Well,
they got one thing right.
Look, some could say that this could be an education or an educational lesson. We have an issue with the southern border there in Mexico, and we have the president who ran on building the wall. He hasn't built the wall yet. But you think that the costumes just. Because that,
I'm not offended by it. I have no dog in this race.
But you think Mexican people would be offended by teachers, and women teachers too, wearing brightly colored ponchos, the big hats, the sombreros, and the big mustaches?
I think it's a bad choice for anyone, especially teachers. There are, again, it's the list. When they made the list of possible costumes, what came in right after that one? And what came in right before that one? Okay, so you had those three choices, and they went with, let's dress up like stereotypical, quote-unquote, Mexicans and sections of a wall. What were the other choices?
The statement from the Middleton School District out there in Idaho says this situation is being taken very seriously. We are in full support of our superintendent and administrative staff as a full investigation is being conducted and are awaiting the results of the investigation. I'm looking at these pictures. How much investigating do they have to do?
I mean, I haven't seen the pictures. I guess I should see the pictures to fully comment.
Well, I explained the pictures to you.
Well, okay, well, let's do this then. You've explained the pictures, and I have a mental image in my head. I'll go look at the pictures and tell you if my mind's eye was correct.
Oh, there's no doubt when you look at the pictures, you could see that the teacher's costumes would be what some would say would be stereotypical, racist, how some people look at how Mexicans dress. But
why do you feel the need to throw in, well, nothing offends me?
But
would you have the same opinion if you're, you can tell I'm seeing the pictures.
But where
now.
Did these costumes come from, Brewster, with the ponchos and the sombreros and the big mustaches? Where did these costumes come from? Did these people just make this look up?
Well, that's two different questions, and I'll tackle the first one first and the second one not at all, because I don't know. The costumes can come from any costume store. So I don't know.
I'm asking you that because these costumes are costumes for a reason. You're like, people make it think either they didn't dress like that, or if we're going to dress like that because at one time they did dress like that, that's racist and stereotypical.
The key here is, two things. It's in poor taste, and you can decide whether or not you support poor taste, and you do in a way by saying that very little offends you. I'm not offended by this. I just think that I think teachers should know better. And I think that, as the caption here, a group of faculty at a Middleton, Idaho school are under fire dressing up together as a border wall with the sign Make America Great Again attached. And all of a sudden they're wondering why they're coming under scrutiny for this. Really? Teachers?
Well, they dressed up as something that doesn't even exist, the ones that were the wall. Let me ask you something. What if Mexicans for Halloween said, we're going to dress as some Americans, and we're going to wear our pants much too big for our waist, and we're going to have it wrapped around our knees, and we're going to walk around the streets, and all you can see is our underwear because our pants are around our knees. Would that be looked at as racist?
The word is not racist. The word is bigoted. You're making a bigoted comment. It's not racist. If a bunch of teachers do it, I think they'll be under fire as well. See, you're wanting to say, well, very little offends me. You're coming out on the side that says I find this funny and there's no consequence from it. I'm coming from the side that says teachers should know better.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens if they, because teachers' unions are tough. We'll see what happens if they lose their jobs over this, or if they just get some kind of suspension or slap on the wrist or whatever the case may be.
I mean, I think that you want to live in a world where this is. I think you want to go back in time to the world where this was quote unquote okay, and just a joke. Quote unquote.
Well, we don't live in that world anymore.
No. No, you don't. You want to. And you kind of give yourself away when you say, well, very little offends me. I mean, you're again, what did I say? You're out there.
Well, no.
You're defining yourself.
Well, Booster, I do a radio show for a living. I mean, well, like find some guys that whether they're stand up comics or whatever the case may be, that are offended by a lot of things.
But it doesn't change your opinion that, don't you agree with me that teachers should know better?
They should.
Okay.
I'll give you that.
Okay.
I'll give you that. But I just wonder if dressing as a Mexican wearing a poncho, a sombrero, and a big mustache, if that's bigoted, if that's racist. These are the times, and we talk about it on the show a lot, that times that maybe a few years ago might not that been that big of a deal.
So you don't,
but suddenly it is.
You don't think that, what is there, 6, 7, 8 teachers here, and we'll pull this picture up again. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7 teachers. And a couple have on brightly colored ponchos.
Mm-hmm.
Almost all of them have maracas.
I left out the maracas.
Or something like that. There's like a couple of sombreros. There's some sort of a head thing that you would see on Cinco de Mayo in any Mexican restaurant, which is questionable, and just an American invention, by the way, to sell margaritas. And then the kind of mariachi band sombrero. These are all, again, teachers. And then the other photo is people made up as sections of the wall with the caption Make America Great Again. Is it clever? Sure. Does it push the envelope?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Especially for elementary school teachers.
Exactly. That's my point. That's all. That's all.
Well, speaking of Mexico, coming up, you see whose trial just started? El Chapo. One of the biggest drug dealers in Mexico. Now, I bet you if you dressed up like him, no one would say, well, that's no one would have a problem with it.
Do you see now why I don't dress up for Halloween at all? You kind of put two and two together there. And we'll find out how many cheeses you can name in 30 seconds.
Oh, boy. On Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans.
Jury selection is underway in the trial of Joaquin El Chapo Guzman. He's the biggest drug dealer in Mexico that we knew about. He allegedly smuggled 155 tons of cocaine into the United States. That's enough to supply Hollywood, California, for about a week and a half. So I'll be keeping my eye on that El Chapo Guzman trial. That's something. All right, coming up next, you're going to ask me about cheese?
Yes.
Okay, I look forward to that. I like cheese. I'm a cheese fan.
It's another one of those wacky game night promotions that they have throughout sports.
Hi, if you're listening, I hope you like cheese as much as me. That's next on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show, brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans, and Lamarck Ford.
So you know how there are basically a couple of different elements to promotions for sports organizations, some professional sports teams, and that goes all the way from Major League, baseball, football, basketball, hockey, if you want to throw that in there. You and I are hockey fans, but we're kind of in the vast minority here. So you've got promotions to, number one, do what? That is to put fannies in the seats, to sell tickets. But then you've got a variety of promotions and game night activities where it's selections as far as music goes. It's the T-shirt cannon. It's the mascots running around. One of the greatest mascot shows I ever saw happened to be in at a minor league baseball, the AAA Indianapolis Indians. And the mascot show was unbelievable. They had whatever the creatures were. One would eat the other one, and so now this costume is inside another costumed character.
Kind of like cannibalization of the mascots.
Well, but then one of them gets. Let me finish before you.
I'm trying to picture this.
I've got video. I'll show it to you later. But you've got one. It's just, I mean, a lot of it is kid oriented to keep kids interested in the activities and everything. But one of the mascots regurgitates the first mascot, but it's dressed completely. I mean, it's just, it's unbelievable the things they do. So it's game night or game day promotions. And here's something. And I just thought this was cute. This is not a world beater. It's not going to save the planet or anything. But they did this at a recent Milwaukee Bucks game, basketball game.
All right.
A woman in the crowd had to name as many cheeses as she possibly could.
Makes sense. Milwaukee's in Wisconsin. Sure. And the cheeseheads, yes.
And what they'll do is the Pelicans do it here. They will get the team together. Probably at the beginning of the season. I don't know how many times they do this, but they will have these things already scripted. And they'll have like an Anthony Davis say, okay, name these 10 items. And he's filmed doing that. And then the fan is selected out of the during that game. And that's the thing. You have to name more blank than Anthony Davis. So,
sure.
So she had to name more cheeses than Milwaukee Bucks guard Sterling Brown. She'd win an autographed basketball. She's got a toddler on her arm. She's got a wedge of cheese on her head. She's a Milwaukee Bucks cheese game. Let's see how she did.
Vardy, American, Asiago, Barscapone, Buffalo, smoked Swiss, cream cheese, string cheese, cottage cheese, brie, feta, goat, Munster,
Gold,
Colby Jack, Colby, Pepper Jack, Dub. I don't know.
They buzzed her, but she actually got 27, and they gave it to her. She named 27 cheeses in 30 seconds.
What's buffalo cheese? She said buffalo cheese.
There is like a buffalo mozzarella.
Huh.
Yeah, yeah.
Interesting, because I love cheese.
I love cheese as well. Where do you come down on Gold cheese? Do you eat Gold cheese? Her accent just gave her away there.
I don't know what that is.
You've never had goat cheese?
Oh, goat.
Goat.
No, I'm not a goat cheese fan.
Really? Goat cheese is it's quite good. It's very rich. I just thought that was.
Why did she say some obvious ones like provolone, Munster?
The ones you think are obvious. I thought she said Munster.
Did she say?
How about, let's hear it again.
Vardy, American, Asiago, Bars Capone, buffalo, smoked Swiss, cream cheese, string cheese, cottage cheese, brie, feta, goat, Munster, Colby Jack, Colby, Pepper Jack, I don't know.
She said Munster. To say Colby and Colby Jack is a little bit of a stretch, but the idea is obviously to have these people try, but win no matter what the outcome is.
Interesting.
Yeah. I mean, it's a little something more than just, well, here comes the t-shirt cannon, or here's all the here's the half-court shot, although the half-court shot is pretty, in basketball, is can be pretty good.
But you would think shooter. Her living in Wisconsin, being a cheesehead, because cheeseheads are Wisconsin people, right. You would think they would know their cheese.
She won, so.
She did all right.
What are you pointing fingers at?
No, I was just
smart
listening.
Smart guy.
I was just listening.
Yeah.
And
how do you spell Gout? Gout cheese.
I've always said, in my opinion, I think provolone is the most underrated cheese. I think provolone might be the perfect cheese to put on pretty much any sandwich, Booster.
No,
if you're talking about turkey or ham.
I like the smoked cheeses. I love smoked Gouda. I love smoked provolone. And see, now I'm hungry. I'll have to look and see what Mrs. Brewster put in my little lunch bag over here.
Hey, something happened at a Alabama youth football game the other day.
All right.
And it's making some headlines.
Is it cheesy?
It's kind of cheesy. Now, the lawyer of the father who got arrested says it didn't happen the way that I'm about to tell you, because this is the way it is in the story. Alabama father slapped youth football player who tackled his son. This guy's name is Marcus Dempsey, lives in Northport, Alabama, and he was charged with harassment. He's actually a dentist in Alabama. Yeah, they got him there. And he was arrested yesterday for...
I think he works 2 days a week, right? Yeah.
Allegedly slapping a youth football player who injured his son during a tackle last month. So this happened a month ago, and I guess they've been going back and forth between the videotape and the charges, and they walked into his office, his dentist office in Alabama yesterday, and they arrested the 43-year-old father. He happened to be working on the chain crew during the Little League football game.
Mm-hmm.
Police said the tackle occurred. This incident happened on October 4th. And Dempsey walked onto the field and slapped the player who injured his son. And then that brought on an investigation by the Tuscaloosa Police's Juvenile Division.
Mm.
Now, the attorney representing this dentist, Dr. Dempsey, denied the allegations. And he said, quote, "We are confident that once the facts are heard and examined by neutral parties, his innocence will be clear to everybody involved."
Mm.
And they eagerly await his day in court. I don't know if this is just another one of the stories that we read where some lunatic father going crazy on the sideline of his 9 or 10-year-old son's football game or baseball game or whatever right. The case may be. This guy was watching his son's game. Someone tackled him and hurt his son. And then he ran out to the field and slapped the person who hurt his son. But I don't know. We don't have the video in front of us.
Right.
We don't know if the tackle is legal or illegal. But shouldn't you let the referee handle that, and then
yes.
let the medical staff who's there on the sidelines handle
sure.
that?
Sure. But the father should go punch the other father, the father of the kid who hurt his son.
Yeah, leave the kid out of it.
Exactly.
You teach your kid to tackle that way?
Pick on somebody your own age.
But that's one of the big problems in our country at sporting events for our young kids. You see this with 9, 10, 11-year-old kids, and the parents getting in fights. I've seen videos. It's crazy. You're fighting over like a 9 or 10-year-old their game. What are you doing? What kind of parent is that?
And elsewhere in sports is, let's see, the show Stephen A. Smith and Max Kellerman. Is that First Take?
Yes, on ESPN.
All right, First Take, and I don't know who the female is, but they were talking about what would be last night's Tennessee Titans-Dallas Cowboys game. They were joined by special guest Michael Irvin, who was fired up before the game.
Tonight, right here in Dallas, we see the dawn of a new day. The beginning of a new age. And a time where the Cowboys will rightfully regain and take their proper spot among kings. Do you hear me? Regain and take their proper spot among the kings. I'm just letting you know, baby. That's right, baby. Be real here, guys. Dak Prescott put up the greatest rookie season ever. Ever. And then last year, and then last year, without Ezekiel Elliott for six games, he had one game missing the playoffs. Ever, all of this rhetoric that y'all sing out y'all mouth, singing on the radio, like y'all humming like Donald Summers or somebody, is just noise. Are you crazy? Dak Prescott is a big-time player.
Now, if the Cowboys, team had this kind of passion, they'd have a winning record.
Coach, I'm sweating. I'm sweating around here. Why am I sweating? Is it that hot in here? I'm sweating. No.
You're firing people up. Michael,
that's what I'm talking about.
You know, by the way, Tennessee over Dallas in Monday Night Football, 28-14.
Yeah, that was former Cowboys wide receiver, NFL Hall of Famer, former crackhead Michael Irvin.
How many of those are former? You want to? Not all of those might be former.
Yeah, and like you said,
like the latter might be the former that's now the latter former.
Dallas looked horrible last night, and Dak Prescott. Yeah, he had a great rookie year. He's gotten worse each year as he's gone on. You're supposed to get better.
Yes.
And Jerry Jones, the owner of that team, has destroyed that organization. They've been irrelevant for over 20 years now. I mean, irrelevant. Going into the early 90s, the Cowboys made at least the NFC Championship game pretty much one out of every 3 years in NFL history. But the last 20-something years, they have been absolutely irrelevant. And Jerry Jones is to blame to that. If he could have put his ego in the back seat and let Jimmy Johnson continue to coach, Lord knows how many Super Bowls they would have won. Isn't that something? It's Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. If you pay any attention to the news, you see what's happening at our Mexican border. You hear immigration all the time, people talking about immigration. According to the Census Bureau, Asians are the fastest growing immigrant population. They assimilate quickly, considering that when they get here, most of them don't even speak Spanish. Well, good for our Asian friends. Coming up next, it's our commercial free ride, and today is Election Day, an important day, the midterms. We'll get into that and more.
We will break it down.
Yes, here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. You know, we told you a couple of weeks ago about a high school band locally. I believe they were in Mississippi, who got into some trouble for doing something on the field. Well, there's another high school band. This one's in Georgia that did something, and now parents are demanding expulsion. To Georgia High School, Brockwood High School in Gwinnett County, inexplicably arranged themselves to spell out the word. You know how we have, do you know in Louisiana we have people that call themselves coonasses?
Okay.
They spelled out the
I've
word.
I've heard that.
They spelled out the word without the ass. And that, up north and out west and in the Midwest, that is racially a bad word. And so you've got this band, marching band. It's at a high school football game, Friday Night Lights, Brookwood High School, Gwinnett County, Georgia. They spelled out that word. And now there are parents there that want expulsion. They want some of those students to be kicked out of school. They want who's ever in charge over there to get out of their school. I mean, how could something like that happen?
This is almost right up there with we talked about the other day, the teachers dressing up for Halloween as the elementary school teachers dressing up as in very
Mexicans.
Well,
in the wall.
I don't like to come right out and say that because it's they're dressed up in stereotypical Mexican garb, shall we say?
Yeah, with the poncho, the big hat, right, and the big mustache.
Right. This world is just spinning out of control. You know that, right?
But how does something like this happen at a high school football game where the band, the marching band, spells out that word, that C word?
Well, I don't have an answer for that.
Well, parents and others who were at that football game, they want answers.
Is there a teacher who approved that? Or is there a band liaison to the school who approved that or said, yeah, do that. That'll be cute. That'll be a lot of fun.
Well, if there is and whoever did, if there is, they're going to lose their job.
Yes, they are.
And there are people in that town associated with that school. They want some of these students, the students that lined up and spelled that word, they want them expelled from high school.
Sounds like a good start.
Well, boy, how does some of this stuff happen? We will follow this and find out if there was a musical instructor involved, a teacher involved.
Right.
And we'll find out what happens to these students who spelled out that word during a high school football game in Georgia.
That's another reason you have to be very careful when you put antifreeze, which isn't that big of a, it's a very small time of the year that would even be relevant around here. But you have to be very careful not to spill that if you have outdoor pets nearby. Because it has a sweet, to them, has a sweet taste to it, and that is a horrible way for any animal to meet their end, is by way of antifreeze.
Yeah, so antifreeze.
Please be careful.
Antifreeze, great for our car, not good for us. Hey, the mayor of New York City, Bill de Blasio.
New York City?
On November 1st, just a few days ago, tweeted, "We've registered nearly 900 incarcerated individuals and jail facility workers to vote in the upcoming general election because it's their right and their voice matters." Really? People in jail, incarcerated. You're gonna let people who are living in a cage right now because they couldn't handle life as it is. Now you want them to go be able to vote for what they think is best for me when they live in a cage? The crazy mayor of New York City. No thanks. I think that stinks, to be honest with you. Anyways, thanks for listening to the show. We appreciate it. Genty is next. Genty! It's Two First Tuesday, and that starts in a few minutes after 10. We'll chat again tomorrow morning around 5:30 here on Bayou 95.7.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.